Book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. With reference to the Scriptures, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints at Rome, said this, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Romans 15, verse 4. So, when we read, for example, first five books of Moses, the Lord there has not only given us a historical account of His dealings with Israel, but He has given us that record, as Paul has said, for our learning. Since our reading tonight is taken from the book of Exodus, we may ask ourselves, what did the Lord intend for us to learn from reading this record regarding Israel's exodus from Egypt? There can be no doubt that Israel's deliverance from the house of bondage is not only a historical account of what took place then, but it is a picture, wonderful type form of the deliverance of the Israel of God from sin. When we read the words of our text, we see our own deliverance, we see our own redemption and salvation from that awful house of bondage. For Israel, separation from Egypt is our separation from the world and from sin. For the Lord has told us, John 15, verse 19, "Ye are not of the world." We have been separated from the world. We have been plucked as brands from the burning out of the world. But what was the cost of that freedom? What is the price of our liberty and our deliverance? Our reading and our text gives us the answer. And that's where we want to begin. We want to begin tonight with the price of liberty. For while we were in our sin, we were bond slaves to the world and to the devil. There was no liberty, there was no freedom. We were under His control, His authority, His power, and His leadership. The world was His domain and it was our domain. We saw the pleasures of sin the season. Those sins were dragging us day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, nearer to a lost sinner's hell. And a price was paid. Let us consider the decree. After a period, we're told, of 430 years, the Lord fulfilled a promise, yea, a decree that He had made to Abraham. Turn, please, to Genesis 15. Genesis 15 and verse 13. The Lord said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. They shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. So the Lord had decreed that Israel, the seed of Abraham, would be in Egypt for 400 years. At the end of that period of time, and we're told in Exodus that it was 430 years, to be exact, the Lord decreed that He would bring Israel out of Egypt. He also decreed that He would judge that nation that had oppressed His people Israel. Dear child of God, when the Lord brought you and I out of Egypt, out of the world, delivered us from our sin, it was the fulfillment of a decree of God. It was the fulfillment of a divine decree, not made 430 years ago, but a decree of God that was made before the foundation of the world. For the Lord decreed that He would bring a people out of Egypt. He decreed that He would bring a people out and they would be His people. Remember again those words of the Lord in John 15, verse 19, "Yea, ye are not of the world." And the Lord goes on to say, "But I have chosen you out of the world." There's the decree. And we must ask then, when was that decree made? Apostle Paul gives us the answer in Ephesians 1. In verse 4, "According as He hath chosen us in Him," when did He choose us? When was the decree laid down? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Not the good pleasure of your will or the good pleasure of my will, but the good pleasure of His will. God decreed that the people would be delivered out of Egypt, delivered out of this world, a people that would be His people. Before the foundation of the world, the Lord decreed that He would bring us out of Egypt. The hour of our salvation and liberation, praise God, was the hour that decree was fulfilled. Not only do we have the decree, we have the death. We come a little closer to the price of our deliverance and liberty. Turning again to our passage of Scripture in Exodus 12, there we read about Pharaoh. Pharaoh was determined that he would not let the Lord's people go. Sent plague after plague, but Pharaoh continued to harden his heart. He would not slacken his grip on Israel. He would not slacken his hold on God's chosen people. Just as the Pharaoh of this world was determined to keep you and I in the house of bondage. Prayers were offered on our behalf. Word was preached to in our hearing, but still he held us in his vice-like grip. So what was to be done? The Pharaoh would not let Israel go in spite of all the plagues that came upon him and upon the Egyptians. What was to be done? Well, the Lord revealed a plan to Moses in Exodus 11. And in Exodus 11, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Verses 4 and 5. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. For the firstborn of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. So that was the plan. It was to be a night of death, and weeping, and wailing, and mourning. That's what was to take place in Egypt that night. The destroyer was to spread forth his wings and fly through the streets of Egypt and visit every Egyptian home. What was going to keep the death angel from the house of the Israelites? Exodus 12, the story well, verses 3 to 5. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house, and so forth. And then that lamb was to be slain. In verse 13, and the blood shall be on you, to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The night of death. But we see that for Israel to be saved, a lamb had to die in their place. For really, that's what happened. A lamb died in their place. And the blood of that lamb was sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels of every Israelite home. And that night, the destroying angel passed over every Israelite home because a lamb had died and the blood of the lamb had been shed. And that was the price of Israel's liberty and freedom and deliverance. And what the plague of flies and the plague of lice and the plague of frogs and all the other plagues couldn't do, you could say the blood of the Lamb accomplished. Because that night of death in Egypt, when the Lamb was slain and the blood was shed, Pharaoh rose up in the night. And he went and spoke to Moses and Aaron. And he said, take your people. His grip at last had been slackened. And Israel's freedom and liberty had been bought through the death of a lamb. Dear child of God, nothing but nothing could slacken the devil's grip on your soul and mine, on your life and mine, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise God, it was His death and His blood that defeated our Pharaoh. That's why we sang the words tonight, the Lion of Judah. shall break every chain. Give us the victory again and again. For Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who shed His blood on Calvary, why He breaks the power of cancel sin that sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, and His blood avails for me. The blood that set us free. Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb. Because Christ is our Passover Lamb, we have been set free. Price of our liberty. The decree, the death, and the deliverance. The grip of Pharaoh had been broken. We notice something else. Look at verse 33 of Exodus 12. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. The Egyptians who had used the Israelites, who had benefited from the slavery of the Israelites, they were the ones that were telling Israel to get out. And they were the Israelites to go urgently. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. They begged, they entreated the Israelites to go. The very people who had oppressed the children of Israel were now driving them out of the land and out of the house of bondage. What does this remind us of? What do we see here? We see here the very sins which oppressed us. The very sins which brought us such sorrow. And oh, those very sins drove us to Christ. For when we came under conviction, wasn't it your sins that you saw? And you saw those sins in a light that you'd never seen them before. And you saw that because of your sin, you were already condemned, awaiting the hour and the day of judgment. And we thought to ourselves, oh, we must get rid of our sins, for our sins will drag us down to hell. And because of our sins, our very sins drove us to Christ. Just as the Egyptians, who had previously taken advantage of the Israelites, the very Egyptians had driven the Israelites out of the house of bondage. It was the price of their liberty. Then we have, secondly, the path to liberty. But what does our text say? And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. As we, as it were, follow Israel out from Egypt that night that the Lamb, blood of the Lamb was shed. What I notice here, first of all, is the grace of God. He said last week that C.H. Spurgeon said that the good old Puritans were great men for preaching the grace of God. And Spurgeon said in his day, he says, you know, we don't preach the grace of God enough. If it was true in Spurgeon's day, then what must it be today?
you don't concentrate enough on the grace of God or preach the grace of God enough. And so when we look at Israel's liberty and deliverance, we cannot help but see the grace of God. When the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, let's say this first of all, when the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, He did so in an orderly fashion. Of course He would do that. God is a God of order, not a God of confusion. You remember when He fed 5,000 men, plus the women and the children, what did He do? He commanded the disciples to tell the multitudes to sit down by hundreds and by fifties. He's a God of order. It is estimated, putting men, women, and children, it is estimated that 2.5 million Israelites came out of Egypt that night that God delivered them from the house of bondage. 2.5 million individuals. There had to be order. They could not run like a mob out of Egypt. So what do we read? How did the Lord bring Israel out? Look at verse 51 of Exodus 12. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. So they come out like an army. Of course, there's order and there's discipline in an army. There had to be order and discipline. There could not be confusion when it came to the matter of their deliverance and liberty. You know, there's a lesson there. There's a great truth there. When it comes to a soul's deliverance, we cannot afford to be ambiguous. We cannot afford to be confusing. When it comes to the preaching of the gospel, we must be plain and personal and right to the heart, so that no sinner is left in any doubt where they stand before God and how they may be saved. You cannot afford to leave people in doubt. Listen to our brother Rowley's testimony this morning when he was in the convent to Mass. And he says he just did what everybody else did. When the nuns stood up and the congregation stood up, he stood up. When they sat down, Rowley sat down. And as he told us this morning, he didn't even know why he was doing it. Absolute and utter confusion. A number of years ago, certain actions were called and reckoned mortal sins. A few years later, those mortal sins were no longer mortal sins. Absolute confusion. Was salvation in the church, in the priest, in the Mass, in the holy water, in the confessional? Where was salvation to be? Absolute and utter confusion. When it comes to ministering and preaching the gospel, we cannot afford to confuse our hearers. We need to know the way. God's way of salvation and deliverance is a plain way and a clear way. Bless God, there cannot be any confusion. So the Lord brought them out by their armies and in an orderly fashion. This is further emphasized for us in chapter 13, verse 18. Chapter 13, verse 18. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Harnessed. Now here's the grace of God. Because the word harness means that they went up by five in rank. Look at your Bible margin. That's how the word harness may be translated. By five in rank. They were divided into ranks of five. Five is the number of grace. How did they come out of Egypt? You could say they came out by ranks of five. You could say they came out of Egypt by grace. Grace that brought them out. Grace, 'tis a charming sound. Harmonious to the ear. Oh, dear God, if it were not for grace, we'd still be in Egypt. If it were not for grace, we would still be in the house of bondage. If it were not for grace, we would still be in the road that leads to death and hell and destruction. But just as Israel was saved by grace, come out of Egypt by grace, so by grace were you saved. Why we love that wonderful hymn, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. Grace that exceeds my sin and my guilt. There on Calvary's cross I poured. There with the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace. Galatians 1:15, He called me by His grace and revealed His Son in me, Paul said. That's what He did for each one of us. Called us in grace. Not only do we have grace here, we have the garments. It's interesting how Israel came out of Egypt. The garments. Here a little detail is given to us by the Holy Spirit recorded for us. And how Israel was dressed when she came out of Egypt. Look at verses 36 of Exodus 12. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. You will notice that when they left Egypt, they did not leave Egypt in their old rags. They had worn as slaves to Pharaoh. No. They left those old rags behind. They left the old rags that were associated with slavery. Left them behind, and as they went out of Egypt, my, they went out well dressed. Wearing, as far as they were concerned, a new garment. Yes, they got this garment from the Egyptians, but it was the Lord gave it to them. Isn't that what it says? Verse 36, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. If it were not for the Lord, they wouldn't have had those new garments at all. How did we come out of Egypt? And the Lord saved us by His grace, called us out of Egypt saved us by the blood of the Lamb, we left behind us the old rags of our own righteousness. We left behind us those garments associated with the old life and the old nature and the old ways. We left behind us the old garments associated with our sinful days and our sinful ways and indeed our sin. And we received a new garment. Beautiful robe, the beautiful, spotless robe of His righteousness. Now, when we come out of Egypt, we also come out well dressed, better than we'd ever been dressed before. Wearing a garment Christ Himself gave us, therefore being justified by faith, we're justified. Having received the imputed righteousness of Christ and received by faith, we're now dressed in His righteousness. As God looks upon us tonight, what does He see? He sees the righteousness of His Son. We are accepted in Christ. You have grace and the garments. And look again at those two verses we read in verses 35 and 36. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they bartered of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required. It's just tremendous when you think of it. For 430 years, the Israelites had nothing that they could call their own. They were slaves to Pharaoh, dressed in rags. And the moment they left Egypt, they carried with them silver and gold and jewels. They were richer then than they ever were in their lives. Dear child of God, tonight, only we would take time to think about what we have gained through Jesus Christ. And the riches that we have in Him. You know, this nails the lie of the devil. You remember those days before the Lord and His grace saved you? I do. And I remember the things the devil told me about all that I would lose if I got saved. I would lose this and lose that and lose the other. I would lose the joy and the pleasures of this world. And I would have no happiness at all. And the devil told me, and for a while I believed him. And the thing is, I didn't understand then, but of course we see it now. When I was a slave to sin and a servant of offer. I had nothing. But the moment the Lord saved me, in that moment I was richer than a millionaire. For I have not yet fathomed the depths of the riches of His grace. And it's all mine. Nor have I measured the vast riches of His love, and it's all mine. And I've not yet seen the riches of glory, and it's all mine. And it all happened that glorious night. The Lord set us free. And we come out of Egypt rich. Richer, as we've said, than millionaires. Notice their greatness. What a dramatic, wonderful, powerful change we have here set out for us. Here were the Israelites, slaves to Pharaoh. No liberty, no freedom. Yet we see that when they come out of Egypt, they come out by their armies. They come up out of Egypt like an army, terrible with banners. Because when Israel went up out of Egypt, they did so like a conquering army. They didn't sort of crawl out of Egypt by the back door. They went out in victory. For we have read in verse 36 that they spoiled the Egyptians. Oh, the Egyptians had nothing on them now. And when they went out of Egypt, they went out victorious. Having spoiled the Egyptians, having seen Pharaoh defeated, they went out in victory, in triumph. And dear believer, when the Lord brought you and I out of Egypt, we also went out of Egypt in triumph. Our fetters had been broken. Our sins had been defeated. And suddenly, the dungeon filled with light and our chains fell off. And we rose up. Wesley said we followed him in victory and in triumph. Oh, thank God tonight, believer, there's victory in Jesus. There's victory through the blood. There's victory over every sin. Israel had victory over every Egyptian. Every one of them. From the most powerful Egyptian to the weakest. Israel had victory over them all. When Christ saved us, He gave us victory over every sin. It's wonderful to just compare Scripture with Scripture. I'd like you to turn, please, to Psalm 105. And here is a verse, a little detail that's hidden away in the Psalms. Psalm 105. Verse 36. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. Verse 37, He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one feeble person among their tribes. They didn't have to carry one another, help one another out of Egypt. They didn't have to crawl out of Egypt or hobble out of Egypt or limp out of Egypt. They went out in triumph. And there wasn't one feeble person amongst them. And that's how God delivers His people. Brings them out of Egypt in triumph and victory. And every man went forth in triumph. Finally, notice the period. It's mentioned here concerning the day and the hour of their liberty. Verse 41 again. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Now this again brings us back to that promise, that decree that was made in the years of Abraham. Let's just remind ourselves of it in Genesis 15, and verse 13. Verse 13, Genesis 15, and he said, unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out. Come out with great substance. Note the hour. The Lord, according to His sovereign will and purpose, decreed when His people would be set free from the bondage of Egypt. It would be the end of 430 years. They were not set free any sooner or any later. The Lord decreed when they would be delivered, and it was on that day, as our text tells us, even the self same day, right down to the last day. It was on the day that God had appointed. That was the day of their salvation. That was the day of their deliverance. That was the day they were given their liberty. Dear child of God, when you were saved, for me it was the 5th of May, 1969, that day, that hour, that Monday night, that place in the prayer room at the back of a wooden church building had been decreed by God before the foundation of the world. That was the hour the Lord had decreed I would be set free. That chance meeting with that Christian who spoke to us about our soul and our need of salvation that had been decreed by God, that Christian should speak to us and tell us of our need of Christ. That invitation we received to a gospel meeting, maybe a gospel mission, and we heard the gospel for the first time. That was no chance or coincidence. That had been decreed by God. Right down to the very day. Some of His people saved in a church meeting. Some are saved at home. Some in the street, even as again referring to our brother this morning. Saved on his way home from work. Bowed the knee, accepted Christ behind an old motel. It had all been decreed by God. Notice the haste. Verse 33. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they came out of the land in haste. There's no dilly-dallying. That was not the message to Lot and his family. To make haste. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Bless God, believer, whenever the Lord convicted us and the Holy Spirit showed us our state and our standing before a holy God, and we looked upon ourselves and saw our rags and our sin and our condemnation. We couldn't get to the cross quick enough. We couldn't get out of Egypt quick enough. I remember one meeting in Newton Abbey in the old Orange Hall, mostly Orange Hall. There was a man come in to the service. We were at the back of the pulpit, a little room at the back for our prayer meeting before the service. One of the elders came in to me and he said, "Brother, there's a man here wants to speak with you." And we went out, and that man had come to the meeting under conviction of sin. And before the prayer meeting finished and before the service started, that man was saved. He couldn't wait to get out of Egypt. He wasn't for waiting till the meeting started. He wasn't waiting for the preaching of the word. He had to get saved there and then. And Israel come out of Egypt with haste. And then you have the host, or the hosts of the Lord. Verse 41, our text, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Now you could read those words again and again and again. And it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Every one of them. Every single Israelite that the Lord had decreed would be delivered out of Egypt, bless the Lord's name, not one of them was left behind. All the hosts of the Lord went out of Egypt. There wasn't one Israelite left behind. The Lord's not going to leave one of His elect behind. When He comes to judge this world, the elements burn with fervent heat and the stars fall from the sky. And the moon is turned to blood and the sun is dressed in sackcloth. And this world is no more. And not but one saint of God left behind. And there's not but one empty seat in heaven. All of the Lord's people will be there. What a day of rejoicing it will be when we all get to heaven. When we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord out from the land of Egypt. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the great plan of salvation. Lord, it humbles us every time we consider it. Should still be in Egypt, condemned, ready for the fires of a lost eternity. But dear Lord, we thank Thee that because the Lamb has died in our place, because the wrath of the Holy God was poured out upon Him, it will never be poured out upon us. We thank Thee that we shall live and live and live in the power of an endless life because of what Christ hath done for us. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Lord, we're glad tonight. We're safe, secure, resting in Christ. sheltered beneath His mighty wings, with our names engraved in the palms of His hands. O Lord, help us in these days to make much of the blood and of the grace of God. Lord, write the Word in our hearts tonight. Bury it deep within our hearts. May we meditate upon it tonight. Gracious Lord, cause our heart to burn within us. Now be with us as we leave the house of God. Lord, give everyone here traveling mercy. Bless our sister Morag as she, Lord, travels the highway alone, yet not alone, for we know Thou art with her. Take her to her home in safety, and others, Lord, that have a distance to go. We be with each and every one. Keep us, Lord, looking on to Christ until we meet again in this house or around the Master's feet in glory. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.